Good evening and welcome to this service in the style of Taizé. We welcome those of you that are on live stream and those of you in the congregation. The Taizé community in France began this worship service as a way of blending work and prayer. They are a monastic style community, and they worship three times a day, morning, noon, and evening, with this style of prayer that is sung, silent, and spoken. So we have borrowed their order, and we have also made a little bit of change here and there. We've added a time for people later on in the service to ask for healing prayer. Pre-pandemic, we offered you a chance to come to the altar rail and kneel, and you could be anointed with oil and prayed with. During the pandemic, we can't do that, so we invite you to procure a little bit of oil. It could be olive oil or some vegetable oil that you put on a cotton ball or on a tissue so that you have it at hand later on in the service. The music of Taizé is designed to be sung over and over again because that quiets the monkey mind that's always busy thinking of things to do and problems to solve. And we have to quiet that mind before we get a chance to connect with the divine. So the music you see on your screen or have in your program, that's the part that the congregation sings. Sometimes one or more of us will sing melodies on top of that, but you just keep repeating. Some we sing in English, some in Latin. If Latin does not fall trippingly off your tongue, then feel free to sing it in English no matter what we are singing. There are two errors in the program that are mine. It was a stressful week and I didn't have a chance to proofread. So later on in the service, I'll remind you of them. But right, the first part of the service goes as is read. So we invite you to open your hearts and your minds and your spirits to the leading of God's Spirit.
Christ Jesus, like some of your disciples, we sometimes find ourselves struggling to understand your risen presence. But by your Holy Spirit, you live in us. And to each one you say, come, follow me. I have opened for you a way of life.
Now on that same day, two of the disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?"
He was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And now our chief priests and leaders hand him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it was just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe that all the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things, and then enter into his glory?" Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures.
As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread.
Thank you.
Ours is an incarnational religion, which means that the Word became flesh. And to honor the flesh that we bear as long as we are alive, as the temple of the Spirit, we begin this 10 minutes of silence first by doing this heart meditation that was given to me while I was reading Cynthia Bourgeau's book, The Heart of Centering Prayer. So if you will just find the sit bones, those bony protuberances at the base of your pelvis, and they are resting either on the floor, if you're sitting on the floor, or on a chair. And just notice how the chair or the floor supports you. Nothing much needs to be done. The support is there. If you are sitting in a chair, you may be able to feel the floor beneath your feet. This too is supporting us. And from the sit bones, our curvy spine rises, and the head sits gently balanced on the top. In traditions of the East, the wisdom seat is considered to be the third eye, and the way we might think of accessing it is that place that our temperature is taken these days. If we start right here, just above the nose, between the eyebrows, and if we, with our imagination, would follow that back to the middle of our head, somewhere between our ears, that would be the top of the spine. And from that place, we're going to take the wisdom seat down the seven steps of the cervical spine, seven vertebrae in the neck that lead us into the chest where the heart is. So we're going to join wisdom and compassion. As each step is pronounced, let yourself drop into the deeper realm of your own true and divine self. So we take the first step, and the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, and the seventh. And now we are entering the physical chest where our physical heart is. But our heart has an electromagnetic field that some have measured as much as 3 feet in all directions. And so we join this wisdom into this heart space. This heart space is where our divine self meets the divine, the Holy One, by whatever name we call this. This is also where everyone we've ever loved or will love dwells. If they are living or if they are dead, we can connect with them in this heart space, for time does not exist here. So now we have the wisdom to go with the compassion. So we have wise compassion and compassionate wisdom. During the silence, when your mind will wander, just simply touch your heart space right here under the breastbone, or think about this space that exists much wider than our physical heart. Notice your breath and bring yourself back to being silent before God. Jesus' disciples recognized that he was a man of prayer like no other. And so they asked him to teach them how to pray. And so he taught them, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." We come to the portion where we invite healing prayers. And this is where there's a mix-up in the program. So there we sing some of the songs of Tezay while this is going on. And we will sing "With You, O Lord." We will skip the next one, which is incomplete. And then the next one will be "Dona Nobis Pacem," which is down a little further on the page. It won't, with our leadership, you'll figure it out pretty soon. Healing and curing are not the same thing. Curing means the alleviation or eradication of symptoms. Healing, on the other hand, doesn't preclude death as the great healer. So what we are praying for is healing, and yet we are emboldened by Jesus' prayer in Gethsemane, where he asked for what he wanted, that the cup might pass. But then he added, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And so we are invited to ask boldly for cure or healing or whatever we want of situations, of ourselves, of others. And then remember that ultimately it's in God's hands, and that is where we leave it. Those of you who are watching by live stream, this is where you have the oil. And if you are alone, you can say your prayers while we are singing. And then you can dip your finger into the tissue or the cotton ball. And you can use your finger to make the sign of a cross in the name of the Father. And then you dip again in the name of the Son. And then I dip again, and right in the middle, and the Holy Spirit. This is a time-honored tradition, as you see from the quote from James, of anointing with oil. If you have somebody with you, you can do this for each other. Let us continue our worship with this time of healing. And now as you go forth from this place or re-enter your life wherever you are, go with this blessing. Know that the God of peace and joy accompanies you wherever you go. The spirit of life and health imbues you with power and light to share with the world. Go and share this to a hurting world, knowing that you are always companioned. You are never alone. Thanks be to God.